You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank, and today I'm joined by Gareth Aird, our Head of Australian Economics. Gareth, how are you going?
Oh, I'm all right, thanks. It's been a very big day going through these Q2 national accounts.
It has been. It's always a highlight for us economists out there to have a look about how the economy has performed over the past quarter. And there would not have been a more anticipated release of economic data in Australia's history for many, many years. We all knew leading into today's release that the numbers were just going to be unprecedented. And that really lived up to expectations as well. So when we have a look at the numbers, real economic growth, real GDP plunged by 7% over the June quarter. Annual growth has now dropped to minus 6.3%. When we look at how the data has turned out, it's the biggest quarterly contraction in output according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics records, which date back to 1959. And I think if you look a little bit beyond that, it's certainly probably the biggest since the Great Depression. Now, there are just so many different themes and trends that we can talk to about this data, and certainly we can think about different parts of the Australian economy, the consumer, businesses, residential construction, the external sector. When we look at the numbers by industry as well, just some of the numbers in here are just extraordinary. What was your quick take on the data, Gareth?
Oh, look, they were extraordinary numbers, absolutely. And look, the contraction that we ended up getting in the economy was bigger than we thought. The 7% that the ABS told us was bigger than where we had pegged, and also the market, which was looking for a 6% fall. But look, in some ways, it's neither here nor there now. What we really saw in the numbers from an output perspective is the profound impact that shutting down big parts of the economy and effectively putting restrictions on what households and businesses can and can't do has a big negative impact on production. We've seen that right around the world, so Australia is clearly not alone. And I think it really just highlights how important it is to get to a point where we can ease restrictions, get back towards a market-driven economy, and then as economists, we can actually start to analyse what are true changes in demand as opposed to manufactured changes in demand, because the big contraction today that we saw in output was a manufactured contraction. Government told households to stay at home. That was clearly going to have a big impact on spending, and we saw that in the data. So, look, some amazing numbers in there, but when you think about it, it's not a surprise just given the huge restrictions that were imposed on households and businesses, particularly over the first part of the June quarter.
It is. So when we kind of think about the themes that we're seeing coming through in terms of the national accounts, certainly the economic shutdown measures, the stay-at-home orders, the work-from-home trend that is still underway in the Australian economy, border closures, the lack of tourism, social distancing requirements really impacted all facets of the data, as well as the absolutely extraordinary stimulus measures provided by the federal government. And some of the highlights that we can see in that is the government share of GDP has reached an all-time record high. Was that one of the interesting highlights that you took out of the data?
Yeah, look, it has. I mean, government spending had been rising in the lead up to Q2 anyway. So that sort of trend was underway, but then clearly it took another leg up because we had pretty chunky lift in public demand at the same time as the economy is actually contracting. So by definition, government spending then must rise materially as a share of the economy. But I think what was really interesting, as you alluded to then, was what we found out around household income today. It's something that we've been paying close attention to, and it's something that we picked up on very early in the piece by using our internal data, where we saw these huge payments going into CBA bank accounts that were far greater than the drop-off in wages and salaries. And so on our data, we always thought that the household sector was going through a positive income shock over the quarter, and the national accounts today confirm that. And it's just quite amazing that you have this massive contraction in production and hours worked, and yet at the same time you've got a boost to household income because of huge government payments going through to the household sector. So, look, it's just an incredible time right now for the Australian economy. I mean, the level of government intervention in terms of what we do and how businesses are operating and households can go about their day-to-day businesses is in many ways unprecedented. And you've probably got to look back to wars where government decisions had such a big impact on the economy. And we're living it right now. We're still in it at the moment. I think the Q3 national accounts that we get in three months' time will throw up another extraordinary set of numbers.
So let's get into the nitty-gritty of some of the details. And for those of you who don't follow the national accounts on a regular basis, we get three different measures of GDP growth: the expenditure side, the income side, and the production side. So I just want to talk a little bit about each of them. So starting off with the expenditure side of GDP, now this breaks up economic growth by consumer spending, dwelling and business investment, public spending, and then the external side. When we look at that measure, consumer spending was down 12.1% for the quarter, or around 12.7% over the past year. Now some of these moves in consumer spending were just unprecedented. There was a 85.9% fall in spending on transport services, so think air travel, domestic travel, trains, buses, all of that. 56.1% fall in hotels, cafes and restaurants. Big fall in other goods and services, but there was a lift in spending on alcohol and household furnishings. So just some very interesting takeouts from that. Business investment and residential construction on the decline as well. Was there anything in that, or anything that you think the trend will change in the near term?
Yeah, so look, on the consumer spending side, it's probably worth highlighting that what we've seen in the numbers is a manufactured change in demand from government imposed restrictions. It's not true change in demand where the result of these movements are due to household decisions. It's basically the government imposing restrictions on what businesses can do and households can do, and that generates these huge kind of moves in the data. I think it's probably worth highlighting that we are looking at the figures today on a quarterly snapshot, but if we had a monthly profile for GDP, what we would have seen is things actually improve towards the back end of the June quarter as restrictions were eased. And that's what our high-frequency spending data has been able to pick up, that the bulk of the decline in spending that we saw today in the national accounts was due to this incredible drop-off over April and to a lesser extent May. But as the economy opened earlier than anticipated, the back end of May, we did actually see an improvement in things that doesn't get captured in quarterly accounts. Look, probably the other points to note that you're right, their dwelling investment came off, and that had been a familiar theme anyway. We think it's going to come off further from here just due to the big drop-off in net overseas migration. Business investment naturally contracted in the quarter. I think we're going to see further falls in that over the coming year as a high degree of uncertainty around the economic outlook coupled with elevated unemployment will naturally see a drop-off in business investment.
Turning to some other interesting trends that we're seeing on the income side is you talked about the increase in household income, mainly because of the household assistance payments that have been flown through into households. But we've also seen a big lift in business payments as well. And we can certainly see that in some parts of the income data, can't we?
Yeah, look, that's exactly right. I mean, the government payments to both the household and business sectors had a huge impact on the national accounts when looking at them from an income perspective. And I think the key take out there for us is we were very interested in exactly how big the savings buffer that's been accrued by the household sector was over Q2. And on our calculations, savings within the household sector are up around $42 billion over the quarter. And that's about a bit over 2% of GDP. And we think we'll get a similar outcome for Q3. So we're looking at a potential build-up in household savings worth around 4% of GDP, purely because of the government handouts coupled with the contraction in spending. And why that's important to us is when we're thinking about the outlook, the economic outlook from here, and particularly into next year when government stimulus payments will be tapered, it's important to think about the buffer of savings that the household sector has built up that could actually be deployed to support spending throughout 2021. And that's particularly important when thinking about what kind of recovery we might be looking at, because ultimately, if households have got a lot of savings, that means the potential to spend is there. If those savings are actually deployed, then you'll get a kick up in spending. In turn, you'll get a kick up in production, economic activity, and then employment. And then you're well on your path to recovery. So from our perspective, it's comforting to see such a build up in household savings. And hopefully we're in a situation where we can get back on with our day-to-day life because restrictions are eased. Some of those savings will find their way into spending, and then we'll see an improvement in the economic data.
That savings ratio at 19.8% is the highest since the early 1970s, which is just absolutely amazing. Just looking at the chart, it's just extraordinary how much that savings ratio has risen. Now, turning our attention to the production measures, so this is looking at what industries performed well or not so well in the case over the second quarter, and certainly those familiar themes continue to impact border closures. Lockdown measures have really impacted the differing industry performance. So accommodation and food services was the worst performing industry. No big surprises there, as was transport, postal and warehousing. They both detracted significantly from growth. Really the only industries that added to growth was financial and insurance services and a little bit of government admin as well. But certainly the industry performance is how you would expect at this point in time. Now, turning our attention to the state performances, and we certainly did see a difference come through. Was there any major takeouts for you from the state-based breakdown?
Well, look, no surprises to us in the state breakdown, and bear in mind we're looking at this data all the time in terms of spending in the economy. Mm. But for listeners that I guess don't follow the economic information as closely as we do, the data today by state showed that the biggest contraction in state final demand was in New South Wales and Victoria. Both state economies were down around 8.5% for the quarter, and I think what you're seeing there is that our two biggest states, which are most reliant on the services side of the economy, have a greater exposure to foreign tourists and also have been more reliant in the past on net overseas migration. They're the states that have been hit hardest. I mean, all states across the board were impacted, but you know, there was differing magnitudes. I think we'll see an even greater disparity come through in the Q3 national accounts because what's happened in Victoria with stage 3 and stage 4 lockdowns will have a huge bearing on economic activity there, whereas you would expect for all the other states there to be an improvement in Q3 on where we were in Q2, just given all the other states have had an easing in restrictions.
Now, turning our attention to Australia in the international context, and although these numbers in Australia are large and unprecedented, we have actually performed reasonably well in that international context, haven't we?
Look, we have. And initially, when we thought about approaching the note today, we thought, oh, well, let's have a look at how Australia performed in Q2 versus a number of other advanced economies. But then we thought, well, the COVID-19 pandemic is really a story for the first half of 2020. And if you just look at Q2, you're not going to capture some of the contraction that a lot of countries experienced in Q1. But if you can recall, GDP only fell by 0.3% in Australia in Q1. So we took the brunt of the impact in terms of the decline in production in Q2. And if we look at the first half of 2020 as a whole and compare how we've gone from an output perspective against a lot of countries in Europe and America and Canada, then we've actually performed relatively well. It sort of seems weird giving ourselves a pat on the back on the day you find out that GDP contracted by 7%, but we are in a global pandemic, and in terms of how we've gone in a relative sense, so far we've actually done pretty well, and I think that reflects the fact that We did get on top of the virus as a country pretty early on, which enabled restrictions to be eased, I think, far earlier than people anticipated. But obviously, unfortunately, what's happened down in Victoria means that we're going to see, I think, in Q3, another very soft outcome for GDP.
All right, Gareth, we'll leave it there. Thank you for your insights. As per always, it's been a very big day, not only for us, but also the Australian economy.
It has, Belinda, and it's good to chat.
Now, where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data, as the statistics take into account only the bank's data and may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement. You can find our note on the Q2 national accounts published on the 2nd of September on combankresearch.com.au.